You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Tensil Places, a theater podcast. My name is Aaliyah Gardner and I am your host. So this week I sit down with an actress named Nadia Pelletier. She is a wonderful woman. We chatted about her work on screen and a little bit more in depth about her newest endeavor, which happens to be all about voice acting. And she is featured in a really awesome podcast that is really romance novels that are just acted out by some really talented voice actors, including herself, and they are on all podcast networks. So feel free, once you're done listening to this episode, check out 10 Week Turnabout on all streaming platforms, wherever you're streaming your podcast right now. So just a heads up for everyone about to listen, we do chat about some adult content and a little bit of Triple X content that's within the podcast that she is featured on. So just a little heads up before we jump into it. It's a little towards the end of the podcast, so feel free to listen to a chunk. And if you're a little bit uncomfortable, feel free to go on out. But I do urge you to listen to it because it's really, it's a really great conversation about how she handles or has been handling herself as an actress performing intimate scenes for the recording studio. So feel free to keep a listen, and it's a really good episode you do not want to miss. So without further ado, let's go ahead and jump right into a voice actor's perspective. Okay, perfect. How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. How are you?
I'm really, really good. Honestly, I'm not gonna lie, everybody, we had some technicals going on, so I apologize if the audio sounds a little bit different from the normal audio, which is totally fine. I have been dying to do this interview, so I'm really excited. I'm just gonna jump in. Like, feel free to tell us, who are you? What are you? When are you? All of the fun facts.
When am I? Here and now. My name is Nadia Pelletier. I am a New York-based actress, originally from Chicago. I do a lot of comedy. I do a lot of improv. And right now, I'm actually involved in a feminist romance audio series. And that's what I think we're going to be talking about today, is making a transition to voice acting and all the dirty deeds that come with it.
Awesome. Yes, I am so excited. But first and foremost, I have kind of an obsession with anybody who does voice acting of any sort. So I love voice acting. I just think that it's incredibly technical, and it's a lot more, it's a very, very different from, you know, performing on stage and everything. It's just such a drastically different aspect of the arts that I adore so much. So I'm super excited to jump in. I'm sorry. I talk with my hands a lot. So.
Oh my gosh. I'm so excited. It is definitely a whole crazy medium, but I'm so about it. Like, it's one thing to like do wackadoodle voices, but then it's like a whole other thing to just like explore this whole dramatic world. Like, there's so many elements to it, which is, it's so deceiving because you think it's so easy and it's not. Is what I've been struggling with. I'm like, oh, this is cake.
Right.
I'm like, oh no, this is arguably 3 times harder than dancing in 42nd Street. Got it. Mm-hmm. Cool.
Nice. Well, I'm thinking I just want to go ahead and jump in. I was doing a little bit of stalking because I wanted to get to know you before I started chatting with you and everything. Might I say, your website is beautiful.
Thank you.
Yeah, you have a beautiful website, which it's beautiful. I just love it. And I was looking at your gallery. I saw so many photos of you on stage, and you look stunning in all of them, like, honestly. And yeah, of course, like, honestly, follow her on Instagram at the end of this episode, because she's like, honestly, gorgeous, drop dead gorgeous. So moving right along, I'm gonna stop fangirling, but yes, I saw a lot of photos of you on stage, and I know you do stage, and then I went on your IMDb and I saw that you've done a little bit of film. I saw that you did Nerve, is that correct?
Yeah.
So you were just a watcher in that?
So in Nerve, yeah. So Nerve was weird because it was like an overnight shoot out in Staten Island.
Oh.
And yeah, and that one was crazy. There's this Coliseum, mm-hmm. almost looking, think the Coliseum. There is a Staten Island version of this Coliseum. And there was a bunch of us who had like special skills, and we all got hired out to quite literally hang from scaffolding in masks and like be taunting, and it was nuts. It was like with Machine Gun Kelly, mm-hmm. and Emma Roberts.
Yeah.
And it was definitely, Dave Franco was in it. So that one was definitely a cool one. It was one of my first on-set experiences, and I'm like hanging from scaffolding at 2 a.m. in Staten Island.
That, just like you told me earlier, get your bag, honestly.
Get your bag. That's like, you work a catering event all day and then go straight to hang upside down in Staten Island. Run.
Seriously.
Do it. Take the money and run.
See, exactly. And I just love that. I saw the movie and I honestly really enjoyed it. It was really good.
I did.
So
it was
wild. Yeah, it really was. I was like, this, it's getting a lot darker than I was anticipating, but it was good. It was really, really good. And honestly, I grew up watching Emma Roberts on like Nickelodeon and all of that. So like growing up and watching her do more mature roles and everything, it's pretty amazing. And seeing that in general. So I was like, oh my gosh, she was involved in that project. That's so amazing.
Yeah, that was, like, one of my first, like, featured background things. It was, like, pretty soon, right after college, I did that. I had, like, a summer of just, like, doing outrageous, like, background or, like, featurettes mm-hmm. in the New York film scene, which I highly recommend to anyone who's interested in TV and film, especially if you're in a metropolis. Like, go do background. Go feel what it's like to be on set. Go figure it out, because you're going to hang from scaffolding wearing an eye mask at some point. Like an eyeball mask is what I was wearing.
Nice.
Look out for me.
Yeah, I love your work. Honestly, no, like, serious. I'm being dead serious. Honestly, though, I am a big fan, because then I was you have the film experience, check. You have the stage experience, check. And now you got the voice acting experience, check.
Yeah.
So that's like even more exciting. Like, do you? Because I know some actors and actresses that I've spoken to and everything, they have one aspect that they truly focus on. Dabble in the others. So do you have a particular realm that you are most prominent in, or the one that you more so lean towards in terms of like going to auditions and everything?
Ooh, that's a great question. I guess, so I went to New York Film Academy and I went for musical theater and film. So I had the great opportunity to study both musical theater, which I've been doing my whole life, and TV and film. So I guess my main focus right out of school was a lot of theater, a lot of musical theater, but I actually come from a comedy and improv background. Like, I grew up always doing improv. I'm from Chicago, so it's
I hear it in our water. I know for a fact that she is from Chicago, but I do not want to say because I don't want to be wrong. But, oh, yes, I hear it. I love it.
Yeah, it's in there. I got to think really hard not to use it. So I think, I hope this is explanatory enough, I think the aspect of acting world that I really seek out is something that I have like enough flexibility to bring in my own comedy and my own improv. Mm-hmm. So whether that is like, I'll look through backstage and I'll be looking for all of, like, the secondary character, like, funny best friend roles. Mm-hmm. I'll do the same thing and I'm looking on Actors Access and I'm looking for all those roles. I'm like, where can I have the most, like, fun? What's most malleable? Mm-hmm. And that's when I started working on this audio series. That was something I was really excited about because there are so fewer variables, arguably, in the acting world when you're voice acting, because it's like, it's not about running around, it's not about gesticulating, it's not about any of this. It's like playing with your one instrument. Mm-hmm. And it allows for a lot of, like, all of the little buttons, like the oop, the eep, like all of those fun, weird things that we do in daily life. So I think I really look for what allows me to be the wackiest within the rules.
It's
helpful.
The wackiest with, that's a trademark right there. Write that down. The wackiest within the rules. I love that. No, that's awesome, because you can still, like, it's still a part of you. You don't necessarily tend to, like, forget that part about yourself, because, you know, usually it's very easy to get into the flow of the audition world and knowing exactly what parts you're going to get called back for, et cetera, et cetera. So the fact that you still, like, lean towards that one area is really, honestly, kind of brilliant. I love that. It's great.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah,
thanks.
Of course. And so, but what, how did you even, because the reason why I wanted her on the show in the first place, well, not because, like, she's just incredible in general, but, like, the fact that she's done voice acting, and what, just like I said, I have an obsession with voice acting. So knowing that she's involved in that was great. So can you tell, like, what is consensual? How'd you get involved?
Cool. So Consensual is a female Women X helmed company based out of Chicago, and it is about bringing feminist romances to life. So, like, it's reminding everyone that, like, consent is the sexiest foreplay. Like, that's it. End all be all. And it's really, like, it's like romance for, like, the nasty girls, like, you know, like, you can have it all, and you should have it all. Like, there's no reason that you shouldn't. And so that's what these books are about, and they are designed episodically. So each chapter is one episode, and we release them weekly on Wednesdays. Happy hump day. And and absolutely. And they're about 15 minutes long. And they're all about, and it's a whole story. Mm-hmm. And what they did is, they're actually really brilliant about it, is they hired all these actors who had theatrical experience, but also had voice work experience. And we do it like it's a TV show, except it's just a TV show for your ears.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I love that. And honestly, I didn't even, my boyfriend was the one who brought it to my attention that this realm of podcast even exists. Like, the show within a podcast, it's honestly, I had no clue. You didn't either. No.
Neither did I. No. No, not in the slightest.
Yeah.
I was like, this is wild. I was like, okay, so we're just going to do an hour and a half long podcast, and our head bitch in charge, she was like, no. She was like, this is a weekly thing. Like, this is a whole, I was like, how do people, what? And then I'm such a noob when it comes to podcasts.
Right.
Like, I'm, like, just dipping my toe in, and now I'm kind of obsessed.
Yeah, that's usually how it goes. I find one, and then I'm like, whoa, where's the rest of them that are, like, similar?
Like, what else can I listen to people talk all day long about? Yeah, it's really cool. It's a really cool thing. So the first, we do our books by seasons. Uh-huh. So our first season is called 10-Week Turnabout. Mm-hmm. And we have a hero and a heroine. Our heroine, her name is Ingrid, and our hero, his name is Noah. And synopsis, they reconnect. They were high school sweethearts. They went their separate ways, and then they reconnect one summer in New York. And it's this, like, tumultuous affair. I play the best friend, Cleo. She's, like, sassy, she's curvy, she's sex positive, she's great. And then we just had our last episode, September 24th, of 10-Week Turnabout, and next week we start recording Cleo's book, which is season two, and it's called Hookup State of Mind. Mm-hmm. And my character, Cleo, she is the heroine of this story, which is really exciting to see a full-figured girl, or at least like hear a full-figured girl, have a love story. I think it's really awesome.
Yeah, that is amazing. And honestly, and I must say, like, I was already, when you brought the podcast to my attention, I was already super excited about the whole concept and everything. And I listened to the first episode, like, on Tuesday, let's say. And I was like, oh my gosh, like, I'm obsessed. I'm obsessed. That's so crazy how that happened just like that. And I fell asleep. I worked, like, Wednesday. Today is Thursday. Yes, I worked all day Wednesday. And then I listened to the second episode and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is a great, so I still haven't finished it, but I'm like obsessed with it, so to speak. And then like when hearing that, reading that you are getting your own season or book, like that's so great. Like how did you feel when they gave you the news and everything?
I like didn't believe it. They had mentioned it originally. They're like, oh, and if everything goes well, like we could always explore expanding Cleo's story, da 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 da. But it takes a lot to write a book. So right. It was like in the back of my head, I kept being like, that'd be cool. And as we were finishing recording the first book, which was in early 2020, it was like January 2020, mm-hmm. they were like, okay, so then we're going to do Cleo for book two. And I was like, me? Is this me? Or am I going to recast? Just tell me now.
That's so awesome. And honestly, I think the second episode doesn't feature a whole lot of Cleo in the story, because obviously it's not her story at the time. It's just not. And that's fine. But there was already something like, I want to hear more of what she has to say. I want to hear her story. So that's honestly super exciting.
Thank you for listening. That's awesome.
No, of course.
I appreciate that. That's so cool.
Yeah, of course. No, seriously. I'm artist supporting artist. That's what my other guest, Jenna Lee Miller. That's how we know each other. Jenna Lee Miller, artist supporting artist. That's what it's all about, especially during this time and everything. So do you go to the physical studio and you go and record this, or you do it remotely? Do you know how to do the basics?
So very good question. Very topical question. When we did the first season, or our first book, 10-Week Turnabout, we kind of had like a camp, because I was in New York and they were recording everything in Chicago. Mm-hmm. So Becca Grishow, she is our founder, she is the producer, she is the end-all be-all. She housed me.
Oh.
They housed me. And so I flew from New York to Chicago and they housed me, and we had kind of like a camp consensual where like I slept on their futon for a week, and then we'd fold up the futon and then we would use the futon was like in their home studio. So I lived in that room and it was awesome, and I was very grateful for them because they really made that all happen. But unfortunately, due to COVID, we are not having camp consensual this year. Mm-hmm. So everyone is in different places doing it remotely. My boyfriend, he is a musician, and so he has a very good friend with his own studio. And since this is Cleo's book, I have like 7 chapters of just narration. So I will be going to the studio for that. And then all fingers crossed that everyone remains COVID-free, I will be traveling to Chicago for a couple of days and doing the dialogue there. But actually, I believe my hero, like, I'm the heroine, my hero, I believe he lives in Japan.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I think he's currently in Japan. Mm-hmm. So he's doing all of his stuff remotely. Unclear.
Oh,
but which is mind-blowing. I'm like, this is technology, and this is so cool that, like, the person I have these salacious scenes with is in a different time zone by a lot.
No kidding. That's crazy.
It's cool, I don't have to moan in front of him, so, like, that'll be great.
That's true. Oh, yeah. I guess I should mention, yes, this podcast is very, is not for the faint of heart. It is very, it's very saucy at some points. And I'm not going to lie, I enjoyed every second of it. I thought that it was very well written, and it wasn't out of like bad taste. It was honestly really well done, but and I enjoyed it. It was great. But I know you have to do the same for yours. So I want to know, because for stage in particular, because that's my strong suit is stage, and I know that when it comes to intimacy and intimate scenes, there is very spaced out particular rehearsals for dealing with these, like, these very intimate scenes, especially if there's undressing and like nudity, etc., etc. But it's a microphone and you, the actor. So like, what's like your process when it comes to getting intimate in the studio, I guess?
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater, SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. SUFS, the original new musical from Shayna Taub, is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at SUFSmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
It's definitely crazy. Like, I have a stage background as well. And, like, so I heard you talking about this earlier. I'm Egyptian. Mm-hmm. And I was actually Aida in Aida.
Yeah.
And, like, there's, like, a huge romance, like, loving scene, like, to end an act. And, like, yeah, that was, like, my first, like, intimate scene. And that one is, like, forever seared into my brain. Mm-hmm. Of just being, like, oh, my gosh, having to be this intimate with, like, the person who's my best friend to this day. Mm-hmm. I'm, like, that's the, like, cringy one for me. Mm-hmm. Like, I think now, being an adult person, like, if I had to be intimate with somebody on stage, I think I would be fine. Mm-hmm. And I've done nudity. I did a full frontal nudity on Orange Is the New Black.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Hell yeah. That's killer. That's amazing.
Yeah, I was definitely cut out. You see, like, my face. Well, okay. I'm like, I still have my nudity rider, though, so, like, I'm like, I did it. Like, I signed this nudity rider. Just because you guys don't see the areolas doesn't mean it didn't happen. But so, like, that's another intimate thing. And that one didn't bother me at all. That was, like, the most professional. There's, like, 20 people on set, and I'm, like, walking through this bathroom naked. Mm-hmm. That one, I was like, I'll do that 100 times. I don't care. But this is different. There's, like, a level of vulnerability when it's only your voice. Because mm-hmm. it's, like, when you're with someone else in a scene or, like, you're walking through, it's almost like you can be butt naked, but there's, like, this cloak of protectiveness, because it's like you have an activity,
right?
You know, like, we talk about it in acting class all the time, like, what is your activity? Are you mm-hmm. making lemonade?
Absolutely.
Are you brushing your hair? But you don't have that. Mm-hmm. And there's, like, this really vulnerable quality of, like, I was working with a coach last week on some of the triple X scenes, mm-hmm. and she was like, all right, and now you orgasm. And I was like, oh, yeah, sure. Like, you have this, like, luckily, I think I have an orgasm a day. I'm living a pretty great life. But there's this whole thing of, like, having to act it out. You're like, oh, my God, is this how I sound? And then there's this whole idea of, like, are people going to think I'm actually getting off? And you're like, but you want people to think that, because I would hope that somebody else gets a little hot and bothered listening to it, you know? And it's mm-hmm. done. You're totally right. The writing is so tastefully done. It straddles the line between, like, informative, but then also, like, flowery, where it's, like, mm-hmm. it's not everything is, like, a euphemism. Like, they will use the term erection.
Yeah.
They will use the word clitoris. Like, mm-hmm. it's not every, you know, it's like, you're right, it's not for the faint heart, because they're trying to tell you the story. We're trying to tell you what's going on. We're not yeah. going to be like, there's a random part on my chest that was stroke. Like, no.
No.
But for, I think it, maybe my mom's listening, like, I promise I do other things in this book than the thing I'm supposed to wait till marriage for.
Oh my goodness, please. So taboo. But no, honestly, I think that it's just like, I'm a genuine fan. I think that it was really well done. It wasn't like anything super intense. And honestly, you mentioned, because we were messaging back and forth before speaking and everything, just about the triple X parts and everything, like, oh my goodness. And I'm thinking, oh, to myself immediately, like, what parts is she the sex. It makes sense. So, like, honestly, I think that's how you know that it was like, we got this, we progress the story, and that's all that it is, because I know it's such a like a touchy subject, like sex just in general, so embracing that within the arts is like incredible. So
yeah, and that's one of the things that I think Becca, the founder of Consensual, really strives for, is making a sex story or a story that does have sex in it like less taboo. Mm-hmm. Making it less like, ooh, this is a triple X piece, whereas like, you know, it's everyone does it, or if everyone doesn't do it, we hope they will one day when they're ready.
Like,
you know, and so I think it's a whole thing of removing the taboo aspect of it, and that's something that I definitely remind myself when I'm looking over the material, or I'm mm-hmm. practicing recording, or I'm in the studio. I'm like, this is, you have a purpose, you're telling this story, and in this moment, like, you're having a great fucking time. So have a good time.
Yeah. Is there anything like that you necessarily like? Because it's vulnerable. It's very, very. I can't even envision it. Like just kissing somebody. Like I think the most intimate scene that I've had to do on stage was when I was drunk at a party and had to just make out, like full blown make out with my cast member, and that was the most. So like, especially with really trying to do your job to the best of your ability without necessarily like, I don't have to know your process. I'm not sure. It doesn't really matter to me, honestly. I guess I'm asking, like, what do you do in order to like prepare yourself for this? Or do you just kind of lose yourself? Like just like you said earlier, like you have an orgasm in a day. Like how do you channel it then? Like
keep the doctor like away, man.
Yeah.
that is an interesting, you know, I don't ever really think about that. When I was working with a coach last week and we were going through these long scenes that it's like I'm telling, like, and then this happened, and then this happened. I was actually, and I don't know if this was like I was insecure at the moment or whatever the case may be, I was unprepared, who knows. But going through it, it was a lot of like, I'd throw away a piece. And so whether that, and the point that she had made was really like, it's so cheesy too, but it's so true for actors. It's like really hone in the breath work.
Right.
You know, like find that Alexander method, like do a Meisner repeating, like do something to really like focus in, like you don't know what's happening next. So even though like I know the text and I know what I'm describing and I know at the end of my text, somebody is fictionally putting a hand inside of me, not a whole hand, like that's graphic, but like...
But yeah, if you're doing your job well, I'm just kidding.
Graphic, please no. But you know, it's like, even though I know that and like that's the part I want to get to, it's like really respecting every and the. Mm-hmm. And it's every and is in there for a reason, because like we're building up to something. Mm-hmm. So like let yourself pant, like let yourself kind of get swept away. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's my improv background at work, where I kind of just like let it wave over me. I'm not quite sure. But that's really what I've been focusing on as I've been reading these like very intimate monologues. And I've been really trying to be like less, I know I'm gonna get banged, and more I really hope I get banged.
Nice. I think that's a good balance, right?
Yeah.
No,
no one wants to be presumptuous. That's not exciting for anyone.
Oh, no. But no, I completely agree. That's great. No, I think... You're doing the best job, honestly. If you can't even explain, you're just like, I don't know. It just kind of flows. It just kind of happens.
You just let it roll. No, it's definitely a learning experience. Cause like any voice work that I have really done has always been more comedy driven, and it's always been like character voices. Right. Cause I want to be on SNL. Mm-hmm. So my whole life, whenever I was working on stuff, I was always like, all right, this is this character. This is this character. And now it's like, okay, cool. Now can you be yourself? And I'm like, who?
No.
Who is she?
I don't know her.
I haven't met her. Well, if I do, I'll let you know, though.
Was there anything that that really made you want to agree to do something like this? Because I'm sure, like, as actors, I mean, I don't necessarily, not everybody's starving, but you know, we're always in a constant search for work. Like, what's next? So like, what really made you want to jump on, and how do you think that something is out of the box?
Mm-hmm. I think one of the biggest things that drew me to it is that it was something I've never done before. Mm-hmm. And I think that part of it was the most exciting to me. I mean, obviously, I should say having a gig is the most exciting part to me.
Okay.
Especially like right now in this, like to be going into month 7 of pandemic and to have a gig, like I'm grateful every day.
Right.
Or even just like to have an outlet. It's like, wow, I'm very, very grateful. But it was the product itself is something I've never put my hands on before. And it was something that I knew that no matter where the trajectory of my career took me, I knew that I would always be proud of this. Mm-hmm. From the women who do it, from like the women who founded the project, the women who run the company, the writers, to the people who enjoy it. And to even the content, like, although there are risky sections, like, at the crux of it, it's about a girl who doesn't really fit in anywhere, and who has kind of, like, stopped putting expectations in relationships because she's not the ideal body type or the ideal person for what's been portrayed for so long, and she gets her moment. You know, and it was unexpected, and she almost, like, didn't want it. And I think that reigns true to a lot of people from any aspect. It doesn't necessarily have to be body type. It doesn't necessarily have to be creed. It doesn't necessarily have to be job. But at some point in every person's life, I think you don't fit in, and you almost stop caring about fitting in, and then, like, that's your moment. And I think that looking back on the project, like, when I'm accepting my 19th Tony Award in 40 years,
absolutely,
I will still be so grateful to have been able to tell this story.
I love that. Honestly, I was really just listening to the words that you were saying, and I kind of got swept. Like, please, anybody who's listening to this, please listen to this project when it gets released, because I cannot wait. I'm going to be listening because I'm a genuine fan. I'm not going to lie. So yes, I'm a fan. Thank you. This is going to have to be the end. I am so sorry I could talk to you forever, but thank you so, so much for hopping on and chatting with me for a while. And where can they find you? What's upcoming? Please plug.
Okay, upcoming, you can find me on my personal Instagram. It's @_ my name, Nadia Peltier. And then you can also find the projects you can find their Instagram @consensualpod, or you can go to Spotify or Apple Podcasts, and you can look up 10 Week Turnabout, and that's going to be our season 1, and Cleo's book will be coming out in spring 2021. It's written by Amelia J. Rose and Becca Morgan, and I'm excited for you guys to hear it.
Woohoo! Thank you so much. I'm so excited for this book and for this next season to come out. Thank you, Nadia, so much.
Thank you for having me.
All right.
This was so fun.
Thank you. Yes. And hopefully you guys enjoyed. We will talk to you in the next episode. Remember to follow at Broadway Podcast Network on Instagram and at 10 Till Places Podcast, as well as myself, Aaliyah_Gardner. That is all. Thank you so much. And we will check you in the next episode. Goodbye.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard. So you were being crucified over here, but
yeah.
Not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.